It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Good morning, Blues fans. You are officially Stanley Cup champion Blues fans. Welcome to a Stanley Cup winning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, and I have a full studio minus Jamie Rivers, as we've put out an APB. We've called the police. We've got the same people looking for Jamie that are looking for Brett Hall. I'm not quite sure they'll find either one of those two gentlemen, but we're doing our best. Let me start to my right and welcome in former Blue, who has had a smile on his face, which I'm not used to seeing, but it's been on there basically for the last couple weeks. The man, the myth, the legend, Darren Kimball. What's going on?
Oh, my man, what a night, huh? What a night. I'm looking over there at this other character that we're going to be talking to here, and I'm just enjoying this little viewing pleasure today. So.
This is our coach Henson is with us, I think, in spirit and
I'm
in mind.
I'm on no sleep, Jerry.
No sleep.
No sleep.
No sleep. He is with us in spirit, and he is with us in mind and with us in body.
Say
I'm not
that
quite
whole
sure.
Stanley Cup champion thing again.
Stanley Cup champion.
That is unbelievable. So cool.
I mean, true. Herculean effort. This is like you hear people say all the time, they went from worst to first. The Rams went from worst to first, but that was like over like from one season to another. These guys went from worst to first in months.
We're you know what? We're in here doing this, and I saw Rivers on Twitter, got the cup above his head already. So
oh Jesus.
He's one step ahead of us, the man is again.
I was gonna say, God, is he gonna bring it in here? Will he get it for a day?
I don't know if he will or not. That'd be great to see that, though.
That'd be something.
I think I'd pass that.
So I know there's a lot of superstitions with the cup there, Kimby. But now that you're done playing, you can touch it, right?
I don't do that. No, I don't believe in it.
You wouldn't
I don't
do
know
it.
If that's a superstition, but I got the belief I didn't win it. So
wait a minute. All right, hang on. Whoa. So you're telling me, I don't know. Let's just throw out a hypothetical in Rivs if you are alive and listening. Let's just say, I don't know, a couple weeks from now, Kimby calls and says, hey, let's do a special Stanley Cup edition. I'm bringing her in. So, Rivs walks in with the cup. It's sitting right here. He fills it up with some Budweiser. You're not going to take a chug?
Won't touch it.
You're serious?
Yeah, I paused.
I'll be drunker than I will be drunk as hell.
I won't touch it.
I don't know, man. That thing's pretty sacred.
You wouldn't drink out of that thing?
It'd be a really tough decision. I'm not kidding. It'll be a really tough decision.
Well,
it'll
you guys can all I get the fuck out of here. I'll be drunker.
Listen,
Corey's with us. Our man Corey's sitting over there. He's got a smile on his face. We invited him to come in. We'll hear from him in a minute as he was a fill-in for
like
us a few times. I think he has. Corey has not been to bed.
None of us have been bad.
Well,
Kimby did.
Well, listen.
I'm old.
Kimby, I can appreciate whatever that is. Gary, I don't even want to talk about you. What? Fuck sacred. We're getting drunk out of that thing. I'm sorry. Listen, I sat there last night watching it unfold, and I was talking to a good friend of mine. I've got this friend named Bobby Z. You've met him. Great guy. You talk about a guy that's a true fan of everything. Like if he loves something, he loves it whole, right? Throughout the playoffs, it's been an amazing thing. I was telling my son, because we were in the car listening to the first period on the way home from a baseball thing we were committed to, and the Blues, it sounded like, and again, I wasn't watching, I was listening, but man, it sounded like we were getting dominated. Mm-hmm. And
I looked over at Logan and I said, every time things aren't going well, I call Bobby and I can't hear the game when I do that. But if you talk to him while the game's going on, you get a play by play. And the Blues always do well. And Bobby's like one of these real emphatic guys. You've met him. You know, he's one of those guys. So sure enough, I call him and I'm talking to him and he's going, and the first thing he says is, Chrome, if not for Jordan Bennington, it's 3-0 Blues right now, or 3-0 Bruins. And I said, you're kidding. He goes, no, this guy has made saving. And while he's talking to me, I hear this, oh, you know, and he's doing all this. And all of a sudden, man, I get about 3/4 of the way home and it's, yeah. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So the superstition stuff works. So that being said, if Kimby doesn't want to drink out of the cup because he played the NHL, I'm going to go with that. But Hindu.
What?
I mean, we've bought some tickets. We didn't play. We're drinking. Man, but thing is so let's go around the table here. I want to know the first thought that went into your mind. Kimby, I'll start with you. Obviously, I think the thoughts, we're going to find out right now. The thoughts from a player, I think, are probably a little bit different than a fan. The first thought that went through your mind when the buzzer went off.
I'll tell you, to be honest, Groms, and this has got no disrespect to nobody here, so I hope they don't take it the wrong way. So when I was a young kid, when the Stanley Cup, I always made sure I watched the last game or a chance when the cup was going to be won, because I just like to see the players go on the ice. And when they used to play We Are the Champions, and I don't believe they played that last night. I don't think they did they? Because they're in Boston. I don't know if they know if they.
I don't think
did.
So.
But so I always used to like to hear that song. It was my Queen. It was my favorite song in my life. You know, We Are the Champions. So I always listen to it. So. As time has gone by, you know, I played in St. Louis, but I played in Chicago, I played in Boston, I played with the Nordiques. So, and they've all won the cup now. So St. Louis, so all the way when I've retired or when I was done hockey, they've all had a shot at it and they've won it. And I've always said along this ride, this is all about the fans. And I think as a fan in this town, because I'm not really associated with the Blues anymore, and that, you know, I see guys once in a while and. You know, I'm running around here coaching my kid and stuff like that. But for a fan, it's going to be different because every year you die and when the Blues, if they didn't do well, you would die with it. And, you know, your hopes would get so high and you would. And I never got on that emotion with that ride. I wasn't there. And so your guys' reaction is going to be a lot different than mine. But like I said, I played with other teams. So it's a different animal that I was dealing with. So but last night when I saw it, I was more when the game was over and all the players went down to Bennington and all that started happening. I was asking my uncle because I sat with my uncle last night and you know he got paralyzed in Vietnam back when the cup when they were playing the Bruins the first time. So and he didn't think he's ever going to get shot to see the Blues win the cup. He always said that to me. So I'm sitting there with him. He's in his wheelchair and I'm sitting there and I was thinking and I'm looking at him and I was just thinking how. The people around St. Louis, the older generation that follow this group, you know, and you guys have followed these guys for a long time. So there's more in it for you guys as far as that goes. Does that make sense? What I'm trying to
say?
Yeah.
I'm just, you know,
I want to finish. I'll finish real quick.
Okay.
So when it was over and they went to him, I didn't really care what was going on the ice at that point in time. I was happy for the Blues. I'm ecstatic because I've said that. I want them to win this thing. But I wanted to see what the streets were doing. I wanted to see, because that's, you know, I wanted to make sure that the people were out and just, I don't care if they're wrecking shit or what they were doing. I wanted to make sure they were getting rid of all the emotion, all the, you know, that they went through for a long time. And that's what I cared about.
Well, the follow-up to that is because you played here and you, like, we've talked at times and I actually met you like once or twice when you played here in a bar and before you ever even moved here. And I'm sure you don't remember it. Obviously, we were probably both drunk, but... but the truth of the matter is, even then you knew, and you've talked about it, that the fan base here was just insane with the Blues. Like it was a rabid fan base, if that's how you want to describe it. And there's always a feeling, and you've talked about this too, of Blues teams that had not gotten it done, who you felt could. And there is that emotional feeling from a player of, we didn't get it done.
Yeah.
And now it's been done. So is there a little bit like, do you, as a former player, is there a little bit of feeling of you like, finally the fans have gotten what they deserve.
Yeah, because, you know, when I used to sit here and, you know, back in our, when we were 10 years, 20 years ago, you know, you'd run out and you'd play golf all the time and you're drinking and guys would always ask you what went on with the Blues. And so you had to answer the same question. You know, you didn't get it done. You didn't get it. But now that question, that answer changes. And I told you that about 2 weeks ago. The answer is getting ready to change.
Yeah.
So you don't have to talk about that anymore. Now they've won it. So to people, you know, the guys that, on the alumni part of it, like Rivs has been involved with this here lately. And I just met Rivs probably 2 or 3 years ago. I had no connection with him before that. And, you know, we're friends and all this, but the guys like Bobby Plager and Brett Hall and Bernie Federko and Kelly Che, these guys that they've been around the game. So they're going to react a hell of a lot different. And they're going to be on TV showing this thing. Cause they're still bleeding blue, you know, and not that I don't, I do. If you understand where I'm going with this, I'm not going to be on the same wavelength they're on because they live with, that's their job. They work for the Blues. So they're still working through that. My life's gone in a different venture where I work somewhere else.
Right.
I'm happy, but I've always said, as long as the fans win this, because I've met a lot of good people in this town back in the day. And I live in Granite City, so I know a lot of good people. So it's that are all Blues fans. And I'm happy for them, for sure, because I know how bad they wanted this goddamn thing. So, you know, and I'm on Twitter and I hear it all the time. So it's been awesome.
Well, that's kind of what we touched on, like, last week when I was saying, you know, like, Kimby and Rivs, and especially Kimby, his motivating factor, or the thing that he appreciates most, which, remember, I said thank you for, was how you wanted this for us. You know, and it was really cool. And I can say, honestly, like, at watching the interviews last night, and you brought up Federko and those guys, they're like kids.
Yeah.
They're just ecstatic. And I don't know if this is true or not. We can get somebody to verify this, but my son told me this last night. The last time Laura Branigan sung Gloria was in Boston.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. How about that, Corey?
And then,
wow, that's a lot of star alignment.
My last thing on this, and I'll let you get going on a different part. But the thing that I really enjoyed last night. My daughter went down to my wife went down with a couple of their friends to the viewing party. So they were down there, and I know my daughter. She's been sort of quiet this whole get go and in the last couple of years, but she's really good.
She's had some fun lately.
She's bought into these Blues thing, and she's probably been the most excited in our family for this thing. She's right into this stuff. And, right. You know, she drew the picture and all this stuff. So
she got some crayons for the autograph. She's got, I saw that.
They were down there. And the last night when they were trying to get out of there, they, you know, traffic was backed up and they were sitting out their windows. And, you know, and so my daughter got to live through it. The feeling that a lot of the fans here in St. Louis got to do, you know, downtown, high-fiving people and the excitement. So that brings a lot of joy to me because that's my daughter who, you know, knew her dad played for the Blues, but, you know, this younger generation sort of is living through it now.
Well, she had even tweeted out that she didn't know that you played for the Bruins until somebody sent her a picture of you in a Bruins thing. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. I am going to tell you this, though, Kimby. I appreciate your answers. And as a fan and as your friend, I appreciate everything you said about this being about the fans. But I think, you know, we've got a full house here that we're going to go around the room, and I want to hear from everyone guys about their thought, but I'm going to tell you that I think I look at you a little bit different. You played for a team that I loved, and now they've won a Stanley Cup. I feel like you and every guy that came before it, you're a part of it. So, I mean, I appreciate what you're saying, but, you know, you look different to me today, Kimby. I'm going to say that. Hindu, over to you. Like, if you can remember.
Okay. I can. First, let me say this. Kimby's a Blue to me.
I think
he's a Blue to, I guarantee he's a Blue to our group, Kimby. You know that.
Sure, yeah. Well, sure.
We've all been friends for 25 years now. So Kimby's always been a Blue. So in my world,
sure,
Kimby's part of the Cup. You know,
I agree. I think every guy that ever, like, it, maybe that's be. Do you think some of that is because there was so many years of it's going to be the year, it's going to be the year? Don't you feel like they should all share in this? I do.
Well, they should, but I'm going to appreciate what he said, and
I agree.
That's how he wants to.
Sure.
But from my perspective, and, you know, like I said, Kimby and I have been friends for over 25 years. He's a Blue to me, and so as far as I'm concerned, that Cup's part of him too, and I really appreciate, again, how much he appreciates the fans. Now let's go to the holy crap moment. They freaking won!
Where were you?
Where was I?
Yeah.
We had a watch party at my house, and then we went other places.
Okay. I like how you're not.
Other places. We haven't slept much. We had, there was a lot of yelling, screaming, hugging. So when it went to zero, I didn't know what happened till it was video of what I did. I'm not going to lie. I bent over and my head was in my hands. I was on one knee crying. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
It's an amazing thing. So as a fan, Gary, let me ask you this. Is it because of year after year after year, or was it more because, again, now that we're doing this show and you're a part of it, just like everybody else is now, basically, you're not a fill-in really anymore. The truth of the matter is it because, let's be frank, in December we were trading everybody and lose for Hughes. Is that, well, seriously, is it a combination of all of it?
Obviously, that helps magnify the whole process. But, you know, it's just... It's like I want the Cardinals to win every year, but the Cardinals is they're a different animal because they've won the second most times. You know, only the Yankees have won more than the Cardinals. The Blues have never won. Kathy and I, we were all down there as quick as we could. We were all down there on game six, and we were at the Cardinals party and we weren't gonna go, and then Kathy's looking at me, and so we went, and even game six loss was awesome, you know, like,
well, all it did was set the stage for an amazing thing, you know. It's a lot easier to deal with now.
So so I was there with some of our friends, and you know, Kimby knows Art and Kurt and those guys, and we're all sitting around drinking, and they're trying to talk me into going. And I'm like, I don't know, this and that. And they're like, it's once in a lifetime. Literally. It's been once in our lifetime. And then I was like, okay, I'm going. And so we went. And then last night was just incredible. And the house was just buzzing. And people were yelling and screaming in the house. And we could hear our neighbors yelling and screaming because their kids play hockey. And
pretty cool.
Holy mackerel, man.
As I said earlier, we've got a couple more guests in studio as we have not heard from the search party for Rivs. So we'll move on to a couple of the other guys that are here. An amazing moment last night for a great behind the scenes guy of our show. The guy that does so much work behind the scenes as far as promoting, especially with Yo Radio and lineupmediagroup.fm. But a lot of people know who he is now, and that's our friend Chris Lakin, one of our chief officers at Yo Radio. And I got to bring him in because he did something pretty amazing last night. So I'm going to give a little backstory here. Chris used to live out in L.A. For quite a while. And it moved back here. His family's back here. And while out there, he got to know Jack Osborne. And it was amazing when I first met Chris. He's telling me about, you know, how he and Jack Osborne were friends. And I think you sold his car, right? Like it was a big deal.
A long time ago, yeah.
Like on eBay or something, didn't you? Or did an auction or something. So he's been friends with Jack Osborne. Well, obviously everybody has seen the picture of Ozzy in the, my guess is like he was shirtless and they needed to put a shirt on him. So they found some blue shirt in the lost and found and put it on him, and he gets arrested, and he's, long story short, it's always circulated. It always winds its way back around on social media. So sitting around the office the other day, Lakin says, you know what we got to do? I got to call Jack Osborne. I got to get a jersey to Ozzy for game seven. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's what you got to do. Chris hops in his car, drives over to the Enterprise Center, buys a jersey, puts Ozzy on it, 19. Next day, airs it to Jack Osborne. Jack takes it in, gives it to Ozzy. Ozzy has, Chris, no idea that this is a thing, right?
Yeah, and the whole thing sort of started Sunday, and it was, I was just scrolling through, I think, Facebook, and happened to see that infamous Ozzy shot with the, you know, you're just discussing the mugshot. And this is probably 7 hours before game six, so emotions were high, and everyone thought we'd, you know, have this great shot to win on home ice. And I don't know why it just happened to pop in my head after all these years. Like, I wonder if Ozzy has any idea that he's a legend in, you know, in St. Louis because of this mugshot where he's wearing a St. Louis Blues jersey. I wonder if he even knows who St. Louis Blues are.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we always wonder, I think, about Ozzy if he knows what day it is, but that's fine.
Well, and so I screenshotted it, and I sent it over, and I just said, hey, I just, you know, FYI, you know, this is the, you know, the most, you know, phenomenal night in the history of the St. Louis Blues. They have the opportunity tonight to win the Stanley Cup. I just want to let you know, in case you and, you know, your dad and your family are not aware, he's a legend here that people wear shirts to the games with this picture on it. They have tattoos of Ozzy in the Blues jersey. Like, and he had no idea. He was hysterically laughing.
Yeah.
And then said, you know, I'm gonna head over to his house to let him know, just because it's such a big night. So he drove over to Ozzy's house, and he's like, you know, Ozzy was happy to hear it. Obviously.
Somebody do it, Ozzy. Tell Chris I said hello.
And so it was after that that he decided to send something out originally. I think he sent out the mugshot on social media. And then it just sort of evolved from there. I'm like, wow, okay, we got one more opportunity to win it in Boston.
Yeah.
You know,
I walk in Chris's office yesterday morning, and I'm like, so? And he goes, what? And I said, what's going on? He goes, oh, the jersey. I go, yeah. And he gets on his computer and goes, it was just delivered to his house. And I go, he was tracking it, obviously. And I go, you're kidding. So he hops on. He's telling me, oh, yeah, next thing you know, comes the pick.
We got that jersey off the steam press or whatever. Or however they seal the numbers of the names on at Enterprise Center, off at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and then overnight it was there by 8 a.m. on game day.
It's amazing. That's third world problems. But that's awesome, Chris. I mean, that's great. So for you, you've been a fan. Like, it's been awesome watching you around the office here, and we've got a pretty low. The key off, we have a bar, we have entertainment areas.
That's not low key.
Okay. Well, my point is, you can have a lot of fun here, and watching Chris go through the office with his stick and his hockey ball every day. You've been a nervous wreck. So as I'm going around the table and I'm asking your moment last night when the final buzzer sounded,
it was unreal. I mean, I was standing with my wife and my 3-year-old, and just to be able, you know, to experience that, and for her now to be able to, because I've just instilled in her, right, as a hockey fan, especially a fan of the Blues, but for her to have the experience now of growing up her whole life as a St. Louis Blues fan, but as, you know, a fan of the St. Louis Blues who have won.
Well, she will never know our
historically has been the story of St. Louis Blues fans, right, forever.
Yeah,
that I can remember, you know, going back to the first hockey game I was at in 1986 at the old arena or whatever, you know.
Well, you truly were a product of the Brett Hull era.
Yep,
that's right. You were that age, like nothing to do with hockey. Then all of a sudden, Brett Hull and you're what? And then it's like, I want to play hockey. Yeah, so you start playing hockey. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this.
1988 or 89. Yeah.
Okay. Last question before we turn it over to Corey here. What are the chances that we're going to get that jersey back with Ozzy's autograph on it? It's going to be hanging in the office.
Either that one or another one.
Yeah, well, he can keep that one. So. Send him 100 and we'll raffle them all. That'll be good. Well, thanks, Chris. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be associated with you and your fandom. Let's welcome in fill in, like when one of us would be a healthy scratch. This guy works here and does a lot of different things around the office, but he's a passionate Blues fan, and we would grab him and say, hey, need you, and you'd step in. You were the Sammy Blay of the show. So
Sammy Blay.
So Corey, I know, like, people that know you, like, I can't even imagine what happened with your phone last night, but you're about as you're a diehard, you're a true diehard fan.
Very much okay? So.
Buzzer goes off. What goes through Corey Smith's head?
Well, honestly, you know, and like Chris was talking about, and I'm not trying to ride anything, because Kimball played when I came up, and I just happened to be great friends with a kid whose dad took us to games and had us sitting on the boards.
Same way. I used to go with I know who you're talking about.
Well, we're talking about Greg Tobin.
Yeah, what a fan. And let me tell you, I want to take this time on air, because I know they listen, to thank Greg for all the games he took me to, because he was an attorney and I was just a gopher at the law firm, a young kid. Yeah. You know, hard to afford to go to games, and Greg would, you know, anytime he had an extra ticket, it's like, hey, you want to go with us? I mean, just a great guy. And a great fan.
Lucky. And fighting a hell of a battle with cancer right now.
Yeah, thinking about him for sure.
Definitely. And that's where my mind went to. Like, I mean, I grew up on the boards looking at Darren Kimball and Sergio Momesso, Ron Wilson, Rick Mahar, the Cavallinis. Yep. I mean, that's where my mind immediately went to, and just thinking about going to those games and thinking about those guys. And I became a kid again right when the buzzer went off, and I just made sure to focus, watch it, remember it, take it all in. Obviously, I haven't been to sleep yet, so I've rewatched the game a couple of times. So, but that's where my mind. I mean, we both have the jersey on right now.
Yeah.
This is where it's at in our heads, and we sure. think about all those guys all the way through the red striped jerseys, and it's just it was a lot to take in. But I mean, obviously, we'll never forget it.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing, and I want to thank you for filling in this year for sure. Yeah. You know, you do a good job, man, because you're a passionate fan, and that's all they really that's all the people that listen to the show really want to hear is what's going through the mind of an everyday fan, and that's why they like Kimby and Rivs, because although they played and played at the highest level and did all these things that we wish we could do, in the end, they're fans like the rest of us. So great stuff. I want to get to some of the moments last night and talk to some of the fellas about some of that stuff. Before we get to that, though, I got to send some special shout-outs. First off, the people that are with us all the time, you know, Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com. You know, this is as much for some of those guys as it is for – you know, everybody else. Without these guys, we can't do the show. I know Darren and everybody's met these guys. Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com, allow us to do this show. Construction, heating and cooling, electric team, residential, commercial, industrial work, he's got you covered. Just an all-around great human being, and I can only imagine what a down-to-earth guy like Randy Green was thinking about a bunch of hard-working guys last night getting it done. So please, we're asking you to make sure you guys check out our good friend Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. Please don't forget our friends at Adam's Smokehouse. Mike is actually from Canada, the owner. You know, a Montreal fan at heart, because that's where he, you know, grew up. But the reality of it is he's a transplant now, and he loves the Blues, and he was just been sending texts throughout this thing. Make sure you guys go down and check out the best barbecue in St. Louis, located on Watson Road, and open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Happy to have them associated with our show as well. They do great box lunch orders, and of course, catering is always available. But if you want the true experience, go on down to Adam's Smokehouse on Watson Road and have some of the best barbecue in St. Louis. St. Louis, here's your cue. I got to tell you, Kimby, too, can you only imagine what Noel Buckingham was doing last night, Jiminy Christmas, this guy? Yeah. I mean, I bet he ain't been to bed. You know, there's somebody out there that needs a pest control specialist, and they're not getting in, they're not getting old today, probably. They're going to get somebody that works for him, but that's my guess. But I think about people like that, like Noel and Kristen Buckingham, who support our show and do so much for us and allow us to keep doing the show on air, and because at heart, they're true fans. So it's like, wow, you know, what a great thing for them as well. And we appreciate them. And as always, we're asking you to support them because they support us. So if you need pest control services, which everybody does, we're asking it to be Buckingham Pest Control. Check out their Facebook page. And remember, as always, they do not kill penalties. They kill pests and pass the savings along to you. Thank you, Noel and Kristen. Your friends, I can only imagine the Nelson family. Nelson family, you know, they do so much. NelsonLandServices.com is all they've ever asked you to do, is check out their website. The tremendous work that they do, 5-star locally rated landscaping company that does it at awesome prices. A big job, small job, doesn't matter. They've got you covered. Great people, and they love hockey, so I can only, I mean, I bet Mr. Nelson might have had a cocktail or two last night. Would you have to imagine that, Kimby?
Yeah, he did, and he was just calling me, too, but I'll talk to him after the show.
Yeah?
Yeah, I imagine he had a few red stripes.
A few, oh, that is choice, yeah, right there? A
choice of beer.
Little choice of red stripe. But great people, and again, I think about those people when we do this, you know, the gang at Synergy Hockey Skills, you know, it just, all across the board, great people that support our show and allow us to do this thing, and I'm happy for all of them. So, all right. So a couple things that went through my mind last night that I got to bring up, and I wrote them down. So, you know, I don't know why, and this became a thing last night, but you know, as we joke around about where's Rivs, like, you know, has anyone confirmed that Brett Hull is alive?
I haven't heard of him. What's going on with that one?
No, I don't know. I saw like one picture of him. I'm not even sure it was from last night. I think,
was he on the ice last night? I didn't see him. I've seen some other guys, but I didn't know if I seen Hull either.
I thought I saw somebody sent out a picture saying there's been a Brett Hull sighting. And he looked like Brett has looked lately. but it looked like he was like slapping Bernie Federko on the chest. But I don't know if that was there or I don't know. They didn't put him on lockdown after the finger incident. They surely didn't.
I doubt it. You never know though who it's going on. But
I mean, I hope not. Because let me tell you something.
I know Holly, and that don't matter.
Let me tell you, because this guy, and I'm going to say this, and I'm, and if you're the person and you listen to this show, and you're the one that tweeted out. I saw a couple people take this tech. Not going to lie, a little embarrassed by Brett. Or, yeah, let me tell you something. Take that shit somewhere else. If there is one guy on the whole planet who has carte blanche to do whatever the F he wants, right now, it's Brett Hall. Remember this. If no Brett Hall, no Enterprise Center. If no Brett Hall, there may not be a St. Louis Blues. And if you think I'm lying, talk to some people that were around.
And yeah, it just, if he wants to do that, he can do whatever he wants.
If he wants
to give somebody the finger,
he can give him
the finger. Quit being so freaking sensitive.
Kimby, am I wrong? No Brett Hall, maybe no Blues.
For sure it is. That's the way it was. And back, you know, when the Blues moved to Saskatchewan and that didn't happen, and Holly comes in and he just started a whole thing here in St. Louis. So I know what's going. You know, the when you work for a company and they get that political bullshit going on, and I get it. You know, but Holly's Holly, and he'll always be Holly.
Couple other things. One of my favorite quotes of the year at times is when, you know, Gary or I would get a little excited about the Blues playing well, and Kimby would back us down a little bit and say, "Hey, you know, let's not worry about which way the parade's going, east to west here, or west. Like, let's not put the cart before the horse." Now the question truly is, Kimby, is it going west to east or east to west?
Going right down to the arch, it looks like.
and your chair is officially.
I saw you with the picture.
Yeah, your chair is officially set up right next to Gary's. Mama lets you set your chair up right. The whole family will have their chairs set up. So that was a good one.
My chair's been sitting there a long time.
Your chair has. And I cannot jinx this any longer. It is set up.
Cannot. My chair's been sitting there a long time. I was during the fall, you know, I was wanting to trade the whole freaking thing. But when they turned it around, you said, "What do you think?" And I said, "My chair's on market."
All right. And I think this is really cool. And as a St. Louis sports fan, let's face it, there's a lot of crossover, which I think is great. I don't know about you, Kimby. You played. It's an awesome thing when you have Blues fans that are following the Cardinals. The Cardinal guys are following the Blues. I'm sure you did it even back then.
Yeah we did. You know what, though? The media wasn't around as much in the social media. But back when I was here, you know, Ozzy was big time over there, you know, on the baseball field. But we got to go down there, and we got to meet them. And, you know, that's, I don't know what their connection was with the Blues, if they were coming to watch us or not. But, you know, we're a couple of young kids, farm kids, get to go see Ozzie Smith. You know, we were over there, and they let us come in, and so they were good to us.
And now it's even bigger.
It's bigger than that.
Yeah, and, you know, we've got, you know, you've seen Yachty and Adam Wainwright and these guys over there, and that's great for the fans. So there's a lot of crossover. So I thought about this last night. Obviously, I'm a big Cardinal fan.
So first, take Layla and all that out.
Yeah.
The best picture other than that was Tarasenko FaceTiming with Yachty on the ice.
And I put out, "This is no butt dial."
That was so cool.
Well, and I was going to say, so if you're a St. Louis sports fan, especially a Cardinal fan, and I say to you, when you think of the song Celebration by Cool Hand, what do you think of? I think of the 80s, right? The Cardinals. Or the Heat is On, right?
Yeah.
Now you will never, ever be able to listen to Gloria. Yep. And not think of the 2019 St. Louis Blues. I love that kind of stuff. Yeah. I do. I mean, they'll listen to that song and just kind of giggle, won't they?
It'll always be there for you, kid. And that, you know what? But that's life in general, isn't it? Because anytime something happens in a moment, and you can always sort of relate it to a song or something. And so that's the song that'll stick with this team till. Who knows when? For infinity, I guess.
And Hendu, you kind of touched.
Like, there were times when Kimby and I were coaching and stuff, and we'd have, like I said, we'd be in the hotel lobby, you know.
The lounge.
Okay. It'd get late. And so every time I hear "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot," I think.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, we're going to talk a little bit about this game, though. I had one of the best tweets of the night as far as what was going to go on the game.
Okay.
And So Mr. Gibbs probably got one of the best pitchers you'll ever have in hockey when the Blues win in Winnipeg, you know.
Yeah.
And he's standing there. And
yeah.
So he's been tweeting and all this. And, you know, everyone's giving Ribs all the credit here when he picks who's going to have a good game and all this shit. Yeah. So last night he picks so he goes, for the last time, I'm going to ask you, who do you guys got?
Yeah.
So I said I'm going to go with the captain tonight.
You did.
And I said, and I'll give honorable mentions to Shen.
Yeah. Huh?
On the goal. And I said, but your first start of the game will be Mr. Binnington in net.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think I nailed this damn thing right.
Crushed it. Nail it. Obviously. You crushed it.
Hendu, did Petro play his best game as a St. Louis Blue last night?
Played his second best game.
I was going to say the one few games ago was pretty good. Yeah, I can't remember which. Yeah.
It was, It was game four.
You like to remind us when he makes a mistake or two.
Man, and I'll tell you what, everybody who's on my list that I communicate with during the games about bad decisions he makes or bad plays he makes or the countless turnovers he makes, I texted them all last night, all those Pro 27 people, which I am now. I sent messages to all of them, especially when he scored. I was like, okay, that was a good play. You know, like, and I told them all, like, I'll say when a guy's playing well, I'll tell you. And he played well last night. He still ices the puck more than I'd want him to, but he played well last night. So he's been my whipping boy for a long time. And him and Alexander Steen was my whipping boy too. And Alexander Steen is, I can't say anything bad about that.
Absolutely
man.
Not.
He humbled himself. He took on a different role. Mm-hmm. And then with this Layla, and it's not just her. Yep. It came out that Steen was doing this kind of stuff daily. Like, that changed my whole outlook on that man, and he played a hell of a hockey game last night as well. I mean, he really did.
You know, last night, I tell you what, all day yesterday, people were asking me, you know, work and that, you know, and I just had a feeling in my gut that something good was going to go on for the Blues. I really did.
Yeah.
I don't know. When the series started, I didn't know if they were, I thought they were on this magic carpet ride that they were on, and I didn't know if they were going to be able to beat the Bruins. But yesterday I had something in my stomach that was saying, I think they're going to do this. And when the first period was going on last night, I'm sitting with my uncle, and he looks over at me, and I think shots were 7-1. And I said, Jimmy, I said, I've seen this a million times. I said, the goalie stands on his head. You're not even in the Blues aren't even in the ball game here right now. I said, they're going to go down and they're going to get a horseshit goalie. Just watch. and my boy was sitting beside me on the other side of me. And when they entered the zone just before they scored the goal, Lawson goes, Dad, I think they're going to score right here. It feels like they're going to get a goal because they had a little puck possession. And it went back and boom, it went and O'Reilly tips it in the net like just a goal that you throw a puck in the net and the guy tips it and it goes between the five hole. And I just said, I looked over at Jimmy and I said, that's what I'm telling you. I said, that's the game of hockey. I said, a goaltender stands on this friggin' head and all the momentum's in Boston's favor. And all of a sudden, boom, just like that, things swung. And then, Marchand, whatever bonehead play he pulled there, does that. And Petro jumps up.
Went to the bench.
Yeah, and Petro jumps up and scores. And I'm pretty well said to Jimmy, I said, this thing's over.
Yeah.
I said, this is just going to knock
the shit
out.
They played one of the best second periods you will ever watch.
You couldn't skate or take that puck near the middle.
Yeah, you couldn't do it. You cannot play a better hockey game. And I don't care how many shots are on there. So here's one thing to look at. The Bruins blocked like 103 shots in the whole series. That's if you add that to the actual shots, the Blues had more shots because the Blues only blocked like 50 something compared. Anyway, but real quick, I mean, again, we're blown not to get overly sentimental and stuff, but Kimby's got a lot of choices when in situations like this where he could go watch games and stuff.
Sure.
And he watches it with his uncle all the time.
Pretty cool.
That shows you the character of the man sitting across from us. But let's go back.
And he's got a deal now with Lawson looking at him after that going.
Yeah. Well, like, what's
that? Going, yeah, told you.
But man, Kimby, how great a road game second period. If you want to teach your team how to play on the road in the second period with the long change, just watch that 20 minutes because it was textbook.
But he, you know what? And I'll tell you something. When I was growing up, you never thought of, you know, you played systems, but you never knew why you played fucking systems. and you know, and even when I went pro, there was a theory to it all. And I, you know, basically when I was out of the NHL and I was playing in Albany and Robbie Fedoruk was there and we that was when the trap was going on, you know. And so we went through it and I started to understand shit what was going on. And I brought it back, you know, when I coached our midget team. We ended up horseshit and we ended up at Central State Stadium and we went to the trap and all of a sudden we almost beat the team that we weren't even supposed to touch. And so it's just, but last night, and you could say this, I said this the day before, I said, whatever team keeps the other team out of the middle of the ice, someone's going to have to, and you'll hear on the podcast, I believe you said, someone has to go to the goddamn middle in the net and shit has to happen. And whoever keeps them out is going to win this game. And the Blues, you couldn't go near the middle. They kept the puck out. They kept everything on the outside. Everything was shut down, and they couldn't do nothing.
And then we go into the third, and we're all sitting around at my house, you know, and the third starts similar. You know, the Blues are playing a similar, now there's not the long change. So we're there. If you watch, the Blues are going 20-25 second shifts, 20-25 second shifts. New guys, fresh legs all the time. And it for maybe the casual fan, it kind of looked like they were sitting back. They weren't. They were just setting Boston up and just delaying enough time to where, you know, this isn't self-serving. I'm just going to tell you what I said. I said to the group with us who were saying, they're laying back. I go, no, they're not. They're setting Boston up. Like, for real. They're just going to defend, handle the push, and then Boston's going to have to change and jump in. Their D are going to have to jump in. They're going to have to change because it's going to be 2-0, and we're going to get around that 10-8-minute mark. And I said, when they get around that 10-8-minute mark, if it's still 2-0, the Blues are going to get a few more because they're going to get chances because Boston has to push. And all of a sudden, you saw the Blues switch gears. And it was because, you know, you had 4 and 5 Bruins coming hard, and then the Blues would get a turnover and go the other way, and then all of a sudden it's 4-4 and freaking nothing. And oh man,
I'll tell you what,
a great two periods
to follow this team. If you were a movie producer, just think of this, the things that you could do with this. I sat there last night, and as the game's going on, when Shen scored, I was happy for him because I watched this guy throw his body around, and he brought it every goddamn game. Shot. You know, he had the he just had the gumption for the team. He was the guy leading the charge from the fourth. Well, you call him the fourth, but the Barbashev line. They did a lot of banging it, but Shen's your super, and he was doing it. He was flying in like a missile going after these guys. And then the next guy that scores is Sanford, and I'm going, wow, you know, this guy here has his father passed away, so,
and he's from the area.
Yeah, he's from the area. He grew up a fan of that, and now he's scoring a goal in Boston. Like, this, these are things that you just don't.
And it came from good hockey.
You can't make
this
shit
up. It came from good hockey. And you know what? The NHL saved themselves because that game was refereed perfectly.
Yeah. Well, and I said that too, though. But that when the referees stay out of the ball game,
it
walks into the Blues' hands right there. Because Game 7, a referee is not going to put his nose out there too far. Right. He had to call the one penalty because he's
right. Yeah, 55 doesn't do that. There are no penalties. But let him play.
You knew that was going on. You knew that was going to happen, and that's right up the Blues' alley because they can play their heavy game and put it on them.
Man, 5-on-5, the Blues dominated for the most part in that series. 5-on-5, they really dominated. But again, second and third period were definitely textbook on how to play with the 2-goal lead in the second period, and then how to play with the 2-goal lead and expand that lead in the third.
Well, in the end, and Gary, you and I, you know, we kind of laugh about the years of the discussions, and again, not being derogatory, but of the failures, right, of when it just didn't happen for us. Now, I'm going to throw out the year that, you know, if you listen to Ribs and these guys all say, you know, their best opportunity was the year Fear got hurt in the playoffs. That felt like a team that was going to get it done. Not that others haven't at times had the ability, but that just had the feel of a team that we all – you know, it's real easy to say that team probably would have won it. It's easy to say that, right?
Well, if Kimby was around me, I'd punch Nick Kyprios.
Well, yeah, if Kimby was standing behind me, I'd punch a lot of people. So, but the truth is, every year And it culminated for you and I. I remember us having the discussion when the Blues traded for Ryan Miller, because Ryan Miller was, how good was Ryan Miller? And it's like the Blues finally went out and got a proven goalie, and then Ryan Miller just wasn't very good. It almost felt like a curse, right? Like any goalie that puts a Blues uniform on can't get it done in the playoffs. This whole thing, and being quite frank with you, feels like a goaltender, and this is no disrespect to all the other ones, but man, a goalie put the jersey on and went out, and no disrespect to Ryan O'Reilly either. I mean, we've talked about this off air about the whole, but man, our goaltender, I'm sorry, was the best player on the ice almost every game.
He wins all three games in Boston that they won. He wins them all. It's cut to him.
Three.
Three
games.
The Bruins dominate at some point in time in each game, the Bruins put the pressure on, and it could have been a 3-goal game. You know, so then this guy, he did it.
The leg save when he's on down and stick.
Even when we were, Kimmy and I were putting that midget team together, and then eventually a junior team. Kimby was always like, our goalie's got to be our best player. Goalie's got to be our best player. And 50 was definitely the best player on the ice in the first period last night. So another guy who I think, now I'm O'Reilly deserves the Conn Smythe. But I'm going to tell you, from the start of the playoffs till the buzzer last night, more times than not, 55 was the best player on the ice. More times than not. Take Bennington out.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about the players. 55 became an elite defenseman during this playoffs, during this run, but definitely during this playoffs. And I'm going to tell you right now, this kid's potential to be one of the greatest all time. Like, that's how good he was.
Yeah, but I still don't. I think he's part of it. And I think they had a hard time keeping the last pairing, like, because Dunn got hurt. So, and then, boom, what's his name? Bertuzzo gets, he's in and out. Edmondson, his confidence level was banged up. So the top, the Gunnarsson and Petro and Bomeister and Perico, they carried a lot.
Absolutely. But I'll tell you. But I just think 55 was the best of that bunch, who was good.
So if I go to being a fan in this thing, And I just look at the Blues organization, and so Petro Angelo, just the weight that's got to go off his shoulders.
Oh, my God.
He said here, he took a fucking beating in this town. There's times he took a beating. Time he should have maybe, but, because he was your number one guy. He played on the Canada Cup. He's coming back, and he's an elite defenseman, and they just could never get it done. So that's got, and Bomeister, that's, he took a beating. I didn't say many good things about him at some point.
Sure.
And he come back and become one of their better players. We go back to what you're talking about, the year they won. The year I was here when Holly scores 86, we were ranked second in the league. Chicago gets beat first round. We have a chance to do something. We shit the bed. But, so a guy like Holly, who went through that part, goes through that Keenan year where that bullshit went on, and then he sits there with the team that you got when Fear gets hurt. And, that man will be – that's why he's so elated, because Holly was going to bring something to St. Louis. Right. And it was the cup.
Well, he did.
Yeah.
Eventually.
It was the cup, but it was his start to the process. So there's another guy that you got to be happy for. And Stillman, the ownership group, what they have fucking done for this town. They've gone out. They spent the max they can spend out. They try to get to it, and they get rewarded in. And they
the whole Hull thing, though, that you just brought up to me – here's a guy that, listen, we as regular fans, it doesn't matter if it's hockey, baseball, football, doesn't matter. We take sometimes what athletes say with a grain of salt, or you should. Mm-hmm. You really should. A lot of times they are not forced, but they have to say the right thing sometimes, right? So sometimes you're not sure how genuine something is. The reality of it is, if you have paid any attention to Brett Hull since he has come back to St. Louis, and it's been a while now, right? This is a guy that truly, and when he was here, appreciated the fans and knew how important they were, right? So at no time did it ever feel fake when it had the feeling of this guy's sole purpose now in life is to make sure that the St. Louis Blues win a Stanley Cup for their fans and their franchise. Well, and it was real and genuine.
And not just him, Stillman.
Sure.
So my son works over there. You guys know. He supervises those suites upstairs. He last night, so when they were interviewing Stillman, he tells all of us right there, my son, he goes, I promise you, that's one of the best men I've ever met. And he knows what it means to be an owner and appreciative of the people that come to buy his product, so to speak. And like Brandon was telling us last night, how Stillman, he'll stand down on the concourse and just greet people. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, man.
But you go to Holly, and Chrome's the real reason people in St. Louis love Brett, especially the older generation that fought through the times when Holly was here as a player. But he told you what he fucking meant. And he told you, whether you liked it or not, who he was calling out, he said it for, and, you know, people don't like that. I love that. I have no problem with a person speaking his mind as long as you can back it up. And Holly always backed it up. You know, he did his job. Did he say shit that would get, you know, that you think would repeat? But it didn't matter. Like, I don't care. As long as you know the truth of a guy, what he's saying. And that's why I think the blue-collar fan in St. Louis and surrounding area, you know, they just draw, because that's the hardcore fan in St. Louis. That's them. They go to fucking work. They put their work boots on. They don't want to be bullshitted. They get that at work. They don't want that shit when they walk away. Then they got an idol, and that's their idol. And because they know what he's going to do, and he says what he's going to do, he might go over the fucking line. It's just like Jeremy Roenick. He might go over the line, but you love the guy because he puts it all fucking out there for you. There's no hidden secret.
I didn't know Holly was bilingual, so I didn't know, you know, he also knew sign language.
He does know sign language. A couple of things before we go that I thought were really cool, and I just think these are the types of things that you have to sit back and enjoy in the moment. Number one, we've mentioned the fans numerous times. Have you guys had a chance to see some of the video and the pictures of when they got back last night?
A bit.
Of them holding the cup up and letting the fan, you know, an amazing thing. Powerful pictures. You know, it's funny. We live in a visual world, of course. There's the written word and, of course, visual. Some of the pics from last night that stand out to me, obviously, you know, I'll start on the hockey side. Watching Bobby Plager lift the cup for you, Kimby, how was that?
That's what, like I said, he's been sitting there. He paced the hallways. He's lived his whole life for the St. Louis Blues and his family, you know, his brother, the situation there. His whole life has been around the Blues. So for him to get that moment, that was that's as far as the alumni part goes. That's special. That's special.
But that's more than alumni. This is a guy.
Oh, I'm just saying.
I know. No, I understand. But my point is, it's even more than that. Here's a guy once again, just like yourself. Like, see, look at you. Like, I know you act kind of like you're disconnected enough from the franchise. But the reality of it is, it's amazing the amount of former players and anybody associated with the Blues that, while this is a great moment for you, and it is, whether you want to believe it is or not, it's a great moment for you too, but the thought always goes to the fans, and that's why I think Bobby was so special. So that's why it was for me. The players, you talked about why you like to watch Game 7, and of course, like I said, you played at the highest level. That means probably – it does. It's a different meaning for you, but I love to watch each player take the cup and hoist it. In fact, I was pissed off when they cut the coverage last night before they showed every guy hoist a cup. I was pissed because, I don't know, there's that feeling inside of me of, I wonder. I sit there and on my couch and think to myself, what are they? They hold it up for about 10 seconds, 15, and then they pass it on, right? I always sit there. And it's been other teams. It's not just Blues. What is going through their mind in that moment? And that's, I just find that.
But you hear them all say that, and people ask them questions, they don't know what to say, because they're going to know what to say here in a couple of days, because it's going to all hit them at once, you right. know. You know, and I'll, along where we're going here, when I, the thing I liked about it, and this is going to be probably like a 10-year journey down the road, probably 50 years down the road, I don't know what it's going to be, but when I watch a Kentucky Derby, when I watch the Olympics, when I watch and I hear stories, and you watch how this horse was being bought, or the heart, he bought it for $5,000, and you go, you watch the Olympics, the heart, you know, the people had to live through or whatever. There's going to be a story in here, and with all these players, and the one that's going to be told the most when this is all said and done, the Patty Maroon is going to come out of this, and he's going to be a god in this town. And
he better never buy a beer again.
Brandon Bolick played for the Chicago Blackhawks, and he was out of St. Charles, and he won a Stanley Cup. And he was born here, so that was. But no one's won like a hometown kid winning it on with the St. Louis Blues,
right.
Winning that.
Especially the way he came here.
Yeah, and he came here, and the story the with his son, kid, and yeah, all that jazz know. Going on. And it's just wow, man.
Just
wow.
A quick aside on the bowling thing. Do you remember when he came to camp for us and fought?
Yeah,
and you know, Bullock is known as an enforcer. You know, for Chicago and stuff. But anyway, he comes to our junior camp and he gets in a fight with a kid that, remember, we brought in to be the enforcer and beat the shit out of him. Bullock, so we're walking out and I said, Double B, what was that? He goes, you know what, coach? That's the first time I've ever punched anyone. I go, holy shit. So then I said, you need to go talk to Kimby. So Kimby's got him under his arm. He goes, you got a shot.
Well, I can tell you that... you know, so
what are you going to say?
The pictures of Layla with the cup.
Oh, my
I mean,
God.
Your yep. first, I mean, your
she
thoughts.
She calls Colton her best friend, and he says the same.
You know what was good about that when they were there and he was, you know, and I'm always yelling at the TV and say, hey, don't hug her so damn hard here. You're never going to hurt her. You're so excited. But he goes, let's go get a picture with the cup. And then they talk to her and. There's so many stories, and you know what? You're trying to yeah. ram them through your head all at once, but there's so much there to be told. So
he's
much.
Like, put your hand, hold it, yeah. put your hand on, give it a she kiss, it give it a that. Kiss.
That's a man. Story.
Our whole house fell apart.
What did she say though when she did it? She goes, you know, I battled my thing and I got through it, and that's why I knew the Blues were going to get through their thing. That's,
yeah,
you know, well, it was amazing.
You know, she
amazing.
Was sequestered yeah. for 4 months. That child had to sit yeah. in a room
when her mom told her she was going. When you know, with for me, the emotional else. Thing, the emotional thing. For me, when her mom told her they were taking her to Game 7, this is when goosebumps. Yeah. It's yes, it's the going, it's the association with the team, but the reality sets in when you hear her say to
that
her
doctor.
Mom, that like it has nothing to do with how great the Blues are. It has right, nothing to do yeah. with how hard it is to get to go right. to a Game 7. Can I go medically?
Yeah,
and she says doctor. Yes. The doctor said it was okay. That it's puts, like that let was, me tell
that was,
you
that was a slap of reality right there, yeah. you know. But and then when she, you know, when they said to her, I had it like they asked her, you know, how's it going to be? Like her mom and her doctors were like, are you going to be able to handle 4 months? You know, because it's 4 months without anything, yeah. no visitors, anything. You know what she said? I'm fine. It's hockey season. I got the Blues. yeah. What a badass yeah. kid.
Exactly.
And then I saw a tweet last night, and I'm sure all the guys, but especially Vladimir Tarasenko, I'm sure thinking about Aria, because that was a big thing too,
yeah.
if you go
yeah.
back.
There's another guy along the line, Tarasenko. Yeah. He come here, and he was going to be – he was the savior, and – you know, there was times that, and I sat on this show and saying, let's get rid of his ass.
Yeah,
second goal last night?
Yeah.
Well, how about him starting the play, blocking the pass coming
absolutely.
Into the middle? Sliding down, but blocking a play.
Another guy, though, all the pressure, because he was the savior that was coming in, right? He was the big goal scorer.
We were down
and people,
on him.
People, he was the guy that was going to turn this around.
Kimmy, you used to talk about his body language and
yeah.
shit. And we were all like, come on, he's got to step up. And I'll tell you what, folks, Kimmy will tell you. That pass he made on the tape,
nice.
With there's literally just enough room for the puck to get there,
yep.
and it gets there, and then Schenner like has just enough room
you know,
for that puck to get in.
It's neat how the game of hockey is so fast. And he's going into the corner, and he knows where the puck is, and he takes a look to see what's coming.
Yeah, like Petro the other night.
No,
yeah.
a little. You're a younger kid, and you're trying to. They're going hell bent and going for that puck. Well, he sits there. He's in that moment, game seven. He's got the calmness to say, "Okay, what's over here?" And he picks it up, and there's the goal. Amazing.
Oh boy, you hear that? We thought we were getting out of here. Oh, nobody's going home just yet.
Straight out of the Frankenstein movie. It's alive! It's alive! Ew, what's going on, Ribs?
I'm barely alive, but yeah, I'm here.
Everybody thought we were going home. Everybody thought we were done.
Oh, man. What a fucking trip. I'll tell
you that. Attaboy, Ribs. Attaboy.
Hey, we can't even talk about the game. You made Chris Lakin a celebrity last night on the post game, throwing him props for getting Ozzie the jersey. And Chris says he hasn't been to bed. You made him a celebrity.
Well, shit. I mean, the guy goes through all this trouble and, you know, sends Ozzie a jersey. And then, fuck, before I know it, then Ozzie's on fucking Twitter and Instagram wearing a goddamn Blues jersey. And this time it's not a mugshot. Not yet.
Not yet, anyway, yeah. Well, Rivs, your boy Kimby didn't think we were going to hear from you today. He said, he's too popular for us now.
Oh, Jesus, not too popular. Maybe a little too freaking wasted, but not too popular. That's for sure.
Can you, are you, have you been to bed?
No, I have not been to bed.
That a boy.
And how many Red Bulls have we consumed this morning?
No, there haven't been any Red Bulls, I'll tell you that much.
Bunch of Budweisers.
There ain't no Red Bulls.
Can you confirm or deny, have you drank beer from the cup?
Oh, I drank a few things from the cup, yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. It's actually, it's pretty unbelievable, man. You know, all that happened last, I don't even know where to fucking start. Jesus Christ. I mean, we're down, you know, for my situation, we're down in Ballpark Village and we're doing the broadcast and nobody wants to talk about if the Blues win or when they win because you know, everybody had that going on for game six. And of course that didn't happen. Right. So we're sitting there and it's like, holy shit, like this could happen tonight. And you know, we go up 2-0. And I mean, Kimby, I gotta fucking tip the hat to you, buddy. I mean, you picked Alex Pietrangelo to show up big in this game, or you thought that, you know, it's his time, and you weren't wrong, buddy. He had himself a game last night, and you know he scores that goal at the end of the first period. It's holy shit, you know, like we're up 2-0 right now, and Jordan Binnington looks like he's unbeatable. You can't get a goddamn greased BB past this guy. And greased BB. You're like, holy fuck. So it's quite a lot to take in as it's happening. I mean, I don't know. What are you guys thinking at that point?
Oh, Jesus. As I mentioned earlier in the show, for me personally, you know, once I get home and I rewatch it as I'm going to the second period, he's by far Bennington's best player on the ice. Early as he has been, and it's like that feeling as a fan of is if your goaltender is your best player on the ice, you have a chance every night, and that's kind of what you know for me anyway.
Yeah, I mean it was watching him in the first period, Bennington, especially the first period. I mean, you just got a sense, and like even Scott Warman and I were giggling. Like, can you fucking believe this? Like, this is it's going to be one of those nights. Like, it almost felt like a nice fuck you, boss. You know, like, this is happening.
We were talking, it was like, I don't know if people remember, but Zaire, the fight between Ali and Foreman. Foreman beats the shit out of Ali for the better part of 7.5 rounds. And then all of a sudden, Muhammad Ali just knocks him out. Same thing.
The old rope-a-dope.
Yeah, he just absorbed and absorbed and absorbed, just like Bennington did, and then the Blues just put a stamp on it.
Well,
and Riz, we were mentioning this earlier. The second period, I mean the third period as well, but the second period is about as good a road period with a 2-goal lead as any hockey team has ever played. They were phenomenal.
It was, yeah, they really were. You know, and I kept watching the game, and obviously we watch it not as fans all the time, but, you know, you're watching as coaches or people who are hockey guys. And I just kept watching going, you know what? They got 4 guys back almost every single rush. They're taking away the middle of the ice. They're clogging the front of the net. They're still playing physical. They're not turning pucks over at the blue line. I'm like, fuck. I mean, these guys are in the zone right now. And I think, you know, in talking to a couple of the guys about 6 o'clock this morning, as much as you can talk to guys, you know, Ryan O'Reilly specifically said, I just knew it. He's like, after the second goal, he's like, you know, you don't say anything, but there's this sense of like, you look around the room at the intermission. He's like, we got this. Like, you just tell in the locker room, he just said, we got this. And I was like, well, you guys look like it. And, you know, you go to the third period, and Vladimir Tarasenko, Big Daddy Vladdy himself, you know, he chases down a puck big time, where I don't know if we would have saw that from him in December or January, the way he chased down that puck. And he passes it out, and Braden Schenn with that third goal, that's the nail in the coffin. Right there, like being down at Ballpark Village, the place went nuts, and people looked at each other, literally, like that moment of, like, this is fucking happening. Like, it's over. Like, you're not getting four goals past Jordan Bennington. This is over.
Yeah,
it was absolutely. Just a weird, it's like a weird feeling in the whole building. You just, everybody's kind of like, what? Wants to celebrate, but they don't want to. So, I don't know. It was just pretty freaking incredible all around.
Guys. Well, just to kind of, just real quick, 90 and goes along with what you said. There's a little, there was a little clip of the Blues bench when it's 2-0 games and O'Reilly smiling on the bench. Like, just, they're looking down, and there's, like, just a little chuckle between him and Perron about something. It's 2-0. It's game 7. And you're on the bench, and you got a little smile, crack a little joke, have a little laugh, and then you go out and win the whole freaking thing. So, yeah. And how – hey, you know, we've all given you credit for predictions, but our boy Kimby nailed it.
He did.
He nailed it.
He really did. I mean, I give him credit.
He's sitting back in his chair right now like, yeah, I told you. Look at him.
And I just showed him what's possibly the greatest – one of the best videos I've seen. Circulating now is the locker room – them basically force feeding Stillman beer out of the cup, and then they're jumping around, and all of a sudden he's jumping with them. It is awesome. Like, he's probably thinking, oh my God, what is happening to me? But this is good stuff, man. Rivs, as an alumni, just as Kimby is, and you guys are so gracious with your sharing with us, really, your want for a cup for St. Louis. We had went around the room earlier, we had Corey in here, you know, as he had joined us at times. Chris Lakin was in here, told the story about Ozzy. But I asked everybody to tell us, when that buzzer hit, what was the first thing that went on in their mind? And I know that it was, you know, you're sitting in a studio and you're in an interesting situation. But as a former player and a guy that, let's face it, you know, you've played hockey, you're married to it, you've played it your whole life, but you've made this your home. I gotta know the first thing that went through your mind when the buzzer went off.
Well, yeah, it's you know, my situation is a little interesting. I'm trying to keep my shit together before I'm going on TV. You know, you're sitting there, and there's however many people fit in the Ballpark Village, which I don't even know. They're stacked fucking three high at the end of the game. But for me, it was, you know, the last, I guess, well, the buzzer went, and then we had a gap because NBC's doing their thing, and we had about 10 or 15 minute gap, and we're standing out, you know, I'll just say we're standing out in general population, you know, with all the people, and I absolutely wanted to be standing out there with everybody to take in that moment. And you look out, and people are singing fucking Gloria, and they're, you know, ripping their shirts off and doing like crazy shit, and old people are crying, and it's like, holy fuck. And you just take, I took in the moment. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. I just looked at everybody. And it was weird. It was like, I don't know, like, you know, when you're at peace, like, finally, I'm at peace. These people have got their Stanley Cup. And so for me, it was a really, it was a great moment to watch all these people celebrating and enjoying that and finally getting their Stanley Cup.
Well, before we let you go to bed, I've got really only one question left for you. And I think I speak for both the other guys in the room with me, where I think it's really the only question any of us want answered at this juncture. Can you confirm that Brett Hull is in fact alive and doing well?
Well, I can't confirm that he's alive right now at this minute. No, I cannot. But I assume he is. And, you know, everybody's getting was getting hullied last night. So, you know, Brett's awesome, man. I mean, he's him and Bobby Plager and the guys who carried the torch for so long for this organization, you know, and then Kimby, you know that. Like, Bobby Plager carried the torch for so long, basically handed off to Brett Hull, and Hulley's kind of run with it ever since, and probably now Hulley's maybe handed that torch off to some of the current guys that are here, the, you know, the O'Reillys, and I, you got to say it, guys, and I know that our good buddy Gary Henson was skeptical, and so were you, Cromer, at times, but Alex Pietrangelo, you know, say what you want about this guy throughout the year or whatever you think of him, he's now the first captain in Blues history to win the Cup.
Oh yeah, it came up. It came up earlier. Trust me.
Hey, Riz, the guy that's really probably going to carry this thing for the next little bit is Mr. Patty Maroon. I have to believe. You know, what a journey he's going to go on here for a little while, because that's the hometown boy, and putting the Stanley Cup up on in a blue uniform. I know Brandon Bolick did it with the Chicago, but this is St. Louis, and boy, I imagine this guy's got a. He might not buy another beer in this town for the rest of his life. I bet you.
If he buys another beer or anything to eat in this town again, then something's wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, Patty was feeling no pain when we saw him about 5:30, 6 o'clock this morning, and his family and everybody. You know, it's crazy. It's like this bizarro world because everybody's wide awake and nobody's ready to sleep, and Patty's just, you know, on the verge of. Not tears every time he talks about it, but just emotional. And good for him, man. This guy took less money. He bet on himself, and never mind all that shit. He wanted to play in St. Louis. He wanted to bring a cup here to St. Louis, and goddamn, he did it.
Guy lived the dream. I lied. I got one more for you before you go, and we get out of here.
Hey, I got a question before we go.
Oh, okay, you go first. I'll save mine for last.
Is anybody ever going to teach Gary how to say fucking Bennington and not Bennington now that he's won a Stanley Cup?
Can you do that, Gary?
50.
Yeah, I see how it's going to go.
Holy fuck.
So there's your answer.
Give the guys some respect, Henson.
Hey, there's your answer. Okay, so last question. You're the guy to answer this one too then, Rose, because you're around all the guys, and I thought it was – I mean, he kind of answered it last night, but, you know, I think it was in the moment, but – who is the most likely player to go all Ovechkin on this thing? And Edmondson said you might be talking to him when they asked him. So who is the one player that may go all Ovechkin on this?
Robbie Fabry. he was in rare form. He showed up wearing a print purple fucking suit, a three-piece suit with no shirt.
That's great.
And then he ended up with no jacket on and walked around in a vest and nothing else on. And so Robbie Fabry, certainly he's in the starting block, boys. He's got a head start right now.
That's awesome.
That is so good. Well, Rivs, I know, you know, you need some sleep.
No.
You've probably got 1,000 things to do. So thanks for making our day, my friend.
Yeah, no, guys, I appreciate you guys sticking around for me. And tell you what, guys, hopefully you guys still have your chairs locked down on fucking Market Street, Kimby and Gary.
Hell yeah.
That parade, she's happening, boys, and it's going to be a doozy.
She is happening. All right, Rivs, go to bed. We will we will convene next week when all the dust has settled and we can kind of maybe put into words at that time what this whole thing.
I gotta pay a bet too.
Still. Oh, you do? Yeah, we gotta do the cream spinach thing.
Gotten
so,
several
yeah.
direct messages yeah, so on
cinnamon.
Twitter,
we so. Got a lot. We got a lot to do still. So we're not done yet. So all right, Rivs, go to bed. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, boys. Have fun. I love you guys.
All right. Rivies. Yeah, before we go, gotta throw a shout out to Dennis Minner and all the gang over at Minner Arena as Adam Smokehouse is our partner always, you know, with that. So as he's been doing with the fans, great stuff as always. Let's hear what they have to say, because I can only imagine what was going down in Minner Arena last night.
Hey guys, thanks. This is Dennis Minner coming at you live from Minner Arena, and we are actually really live from Minner Arena tonight. It's Game 7 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Gotta make some noise. And we have got a house full, and we are brought to you by the one and only Adam Smokehouse. Please go check them out. Let them know that Minner Arena sent you. Make sure and give Mike a Let's Go Blues. So, guys, we are up 2-0 after the first period. How are you guys feeling? So I'm just going to run around the room real quick. I just want to know, how are you guys feeling? Let's know. We've got Mini Benny here is what we're now calling Bleaker Boy. And this is now your second time in a row on the podcast. You're going to take over my position.
Hey, you know what? Whatever you got to do. I'm excited, man. We're up 2-0. Just got to keep going. Yeah. That's all.
Hey.
Can't talk.
Spoken words just like the real Bennington. So, Jason, you're another. Jason is already over here giving me the do not want to talk. Jason, how are you feeling right now knowing that we are 2-0 in the Stanley Cup final?
I'm very excited. But I don't have words. I'm so excited for this Blues team. I've been wanting this for 44 freaking years. I cannot wait.
Absolutely amazing, Jason. Great job. Hey, and we've got a special guest in here tonight. We have John Ant, and he's going, cannot believe you're going to make me talk. This man right here, I get a lot of credit for Minner Arena, but John is my next-door neighbor, and he is the one that built Minner Arena, all right? Give John some head. Yeah, woo! All right, John, did you ever dream that when I moved in several years ago that you would be charging for parking in your driveway?
No, but this is great. Great for the city. Glad to see it. 2-0 already. Go Blues.
Awesome. Let's go Blues. So, hey, who else wants to talk? Anybody else? Hey, we have got the one and only T-Rex, which he forgot his T-Rex costume. So we almost didn't even recognize Paul when he came in. Paul, how are you feeling with – I mean, you don't even have the suit on tonight. How are you feeling?
You know, I'm feeling good. I feel like we got away with a few goals there, and I like it. I'll take it. It's destiny, so we don't have to play our best. It's just – it's our year. We got this.
Awesome. All right, so, guys, this is it. We are going to head off right now, and we're going to be back at the end of the game. Hey, we want the cup! We want the cup! We want the cup! We want the cup! Hey, what's up, guys? We are back live in Minner Arena, and we have won the freaking cup! Woo! And Jamie Rivers is now on TV. Jamie, it's like you're here with us. Guys, what do you think? We just got the cup. Faith, what do you think?
Hell yeah!
Woo! What else? What do you got? What do you got? First time.
I got nothing. This is incredible.
Everyone is just literally standing here kind of in shock. We've got Wayne from St. Louis Public Radio. Come on, you're a talker. You got to know something, right?
Bennington, O'Reilly, Berube. What a great trio.
Woo!
All of them. All of them deserve all the credit. The team deserves all the credit, but those three people, wow, unbelievable night. Awesome. Unbelievable.
Hey, so who will admit they had a little bit of doubt going into tonight? Who will admit it?
Yeah,
everybody, nobody? Jason, but he's hiding back in the back. T-Rex, you had a little bit of doubt?
We're just so used to getting our heart broken. It's like an abusive spouse keeps telling you, no, I'm not going to do it again, not going to do it. And they didn't do it again. They came through. We're the winners. We got the cup.
Woo! Guys, I can't believe this. Hey, we had an awesome time tonight. We got the cup! Woo! So guys, go check out Adam Smokehouse and scream as loud as you can that we got the cup. Until then, on three, give me a Let's Go Blues. 1, 2, 3, Let's Go Blues!
Happy for Dennis, happy for every Blues fan, happy for Mike at Adam Smokehouse. We love the segment. We love the true passion from the fans. And, you know, I just can't even imagine, you know, watching in a great man cave like that. It's just awesome stuff. Whether it's your couch, your big chair, like Kimby, sitting in the garage pacing, doesn't matter. If you're going to watch it, I hope everybody did it in their own way. And it's just it's an awesome time to be a Blues fan. Rare form. Kimby, great stuff as always, man. Thanks for coming in and sharing everything with
been
the
a
fans.
Blast. Been a blast.
And do you as well. We'll get your cream spinach and cinnamon going next week. One more time, thanks to all the people that have been with us this whole time, especially our sponsors, as I mentioned earlier. We couldn't do it without them. BluesNHLPodcast.com, at STL Blues Podcast on Twitter, BluesNHL Podcast on Facebook, BluesNHL Podcast on Instagram, and, of course, special thanks, as always, to lineupmedia.fm, home of Yo Radio, who made the Aussie thing happen. Make sure you download Yo Radio for free on your mobile device. This is the St. Louis Blues NHL Podcast, home of your Stanley Cup champions.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.